Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Tuesday, January 16th, 2024. Stand up for your country. So I didn't get into a fight. All right, I got this, that. Everybody, all right, okay. Skin cancer stuff. Boy, it's the bane of my life. And I got the stupid cold. It's getting better, but it's still, you can hear it. You know, so, and I'm not whining, by the way. I am not a whiner. But I've had 9 precancers cut off my body. And this morning at about 7:10 a.m., I had 4 more. Oh, it was unbelievable. Not that painful, but it's the trauma, you know? Even the terror dog, Holly the terror dog, when I came back, felt sorry for me. He was following me around the house. But anyway, I'm going to tell you about this procedure because you yourself have to go to the dermatologist. If you're over 50, you got to go. And it will save your life if you do. So politics is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Okay, so nobody's surprised, right? Everybody knew Trump was going to win the Iowa caucus. We have the stats in a moment. It's MAGA territory out there. Republicans in Iowa are very conservative. A lot of evangelicals. I knew from the jump that Donald Trump had no problem there. He knew. He didn't even spend a lot of money that he was going to win. But does it matter? I've got an expert. We'll talk about that. So the Wall Street Journal, which is a conservative editorial page, and they despise Joe Biden. They know how much he's hurting the country. They don't like Trump, the Wall Street Journal. Okay? And so they are calling just about an hour ago for DeSantis to get out of the race because the Wall Street Journal wants Nikki Haley to go mano a mano with Donald Trump and hopefully derail Trump. So Haley would be the nominee. Polling shows that Haley could beat Joe Biden fairly handily. So that's what the Wall Street Journal wants. Now, it's an interesting saga about Ron DeSantis. In the beginning, he was pretty strong. He runs the state of Florida very well, with the exception of the insane book situation we told you about this week, where John Grisham, Stephen King, Bill O'Reilly, the biggest sellers in the country, have had their books removed from a county because of this law that that DeSantis signed, and DeSantis MIA. You want to hear about it, which is very telling. But anyway, DeSantis had a chance to go up against Trump, and it didn't work out. And I'll tell you why in a moment. Trump himself does not fear Nikki Haley one-on-one. He doesn't. And he doesn't have much of a regard for Ron DeSantis. But last night, after the results were announced, here's what the former president said.
I want to congratulate Ron and Nikki for having a good time together. We're all having a good time together. And I think they both actually did very well. I really do.
Ron and Nikki, we're all having a good time. Anybody buy that? Anybody? I actually laughed when he said, I said, oh, yeah. So this is the gracious Donald Trump, the winner. Okay. Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. So last night, Trump got 51% of the vote. DeSantis, 21%. Haley, 19. About 110,000 votes were cast. Ramaswamy immediately got out of the race, and he endorses Trump. Haley goes to New Hampshire, pretty good shape. She's got $12 million bucks in her treasury, and she'll get more. And New Hampshire's a friendly place for her. I don't know, DeSantis, he doesn't even go to New Hampshire today. He goes to South Carolina because he knows he's going to get waxed in New Hampshire. But it looks to me like DeSantis is going to try to hang until South Carolina. Okay, I mean, it's his call. So I was on News Nation last night analyzing the returns for Iowa. And here's what I said about the DeSantis campaign. Go. There was never any doubt in my mind that Trump would win the MAGA people in Iowa. I mean, it's his place. And you add to that the fact that Ron DeSantis, who had a shot, is probably the worst campaigner since Herbert Hoover. Wow. I put him on a level with Herb. He's a terrible campaigner, DeSantis. He's awful. He's stiff. He doesn't look like he cares about the folks. He can't get his message across without repeating himself 15 times. He's boring. And in this day and age, you can't be boring. And that'll be the best analysis you get of the Ron DeSantis campaign. Now, to be fair, and I always want to be fair, it's very difficult to campaign on a national level against a monster like Donald Trump. Trump is an entertainer. Okay, he's steeped in that. He knows how to do that, and he loves it. Trump loves to get up there and rile the crowd. He's a populist. The more feedback he gets from the audience, the more outrageous things he said, and they're yelling, they're screaming. I mean, I did 4 shows with him. I know. He loves it, Donald Trump. That's why he says crazy things, to get a reaction from the crowd. It's not like he's thinking about repercussions of what he says. He's not. He just wants to get the crowd riled up. And I know that because I know the guy as well as anybody does. DeSantis does not like the public part of campaigning. And that's just his personality. But he's up against this tremendous charismatic figure, Trump. And he just gets wiped out because he just doesn't look like he's having a good time. So when Trump says Nikki and Ron were all having a good time, Ron's not having a good time. Nikki may be. She's a little more comfortable in the campaign mode. But that's what killed DeSantis. And Trump's message is not only I ran the country well, and you know by if you watch this program that I believe that for 4 years, But if you put me back there, I'm going to go after these woke DEI, open border, far left progressive, George Soros movement. I'm going after them. That separates him from Haley and DeSantis. And MAGA people want that. And that's the truth. All right, so what happens now? So Trump segues over to New Hampshire, not a friendly place for him. New Hampshire's primary is a week from tonight. They set it up so that if you are a registered independent in New Hampshire, you can vote for anybody. You can become a registered independent when you go to the poll. You don't have to register in advance. Did you know that? You just walk in next Tuesday night and go, look, I'm a Democrat on the rolls, but I'm changing. And they go, okay. So the primary is going to be flooded with Democrats who vote for Haley because they hate Trump. This is already underway. People are being visited and told exactly what to do. Okay? Big money pouring into New Hampshire to get the Democrats to vote for Haley and injure Trump. That is a key to the New Hampshire primary, and you should understand what is going on up there. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you a story about when I was in New Hampshire with Barack Obama, the first time he ran against John McCain. Remind me, producers, please put that on a list tomorrow. It's a great story. Might even have some video of it. But anyway, Haley knows that she is going to have a big advantage in New Hampshire. And the press is salivating because they want the story to be, here comes Nikki Haley, she's going to knock Trump off. And that story will happen. Because it's inconceivable to me, knowing the Granite State the way I do, live free or die, beautiful state. It's inconceivable that Trump is going to do what he did in Iowa. He'll win New Hampshire, I think, but it's not going to be small. Then they go to South Carolina. That's MAGA country. And that's the memo.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth, delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe, download now, The Truth.
All right, let's bring in another point of view. Dr. Bob Beatty teaches political science. He's the chairman of the department at Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas, from where he joins us now. All right, my analysis, do you differ anywhere from it?
Not really. I think you're right about DeSantis. He had a chance to make this a really interesting race. Obviously, he could have captured some MAGA people. He could have captured evangelicals. And I went up to Iowa to check him out right away because he had a lot of buzz. And he's not a great campaigner. His smile is more of a grimace, you know, that kind of thing. He brought his wife, and I think that was pretty pointed because she actually was more popular at some of the events. And he just didn't connect with Iowans, but that happens. That's what Iowa does. Fred Thompson, that same thing happened to Fred Thompson. Scott Walker was the big one. Both of them didn't connect with Iowans. So I think it's a little surprising that there was this opening and he never was able to capture. I was also surprised that Nikki Haley wasn't able to continue with sort of the momentum she had. She could have done better. There are more moderate Republicans in Iowa than showed up. The turnout was low. I know the weather wasn't good, but the Iowans kept telling us, we're Iowans, we don't care. And I kind of believe them. So those moderate Republicans, those suburban Republicans, they're probably for her. And they decided not to caucus. So I was a little surprised. I kind of thought she was going to get second.
Okay. But it really doesn't matter for Nikki Haley because Iowa was never going to be her stand. It was always going to be New Hampshire. And Haley didn't spend that much money. She marshaled her money for New Hampshire and South Carolina. I don't think Haley comes out of Iowa damaged. Do you?
I think a little bit. I think at the end there, there was the thought that she could get second. And you know, the expectations game, you get a lot more attention, you get a lot more momentum and buzz saying, hey, we came in second, we're moving on New Hampshire. I think it dulled a little bit her momentum going into New Hampshire. Rick Santorum, of course, famously didn't get the benefit of a victory on Iowa caucus night. He's, I don't know if he's right, but he always argued that really hurt me. She just didn't get to go up there and say, you know, we got seconds. I think maybe they shouldn't have been expecting to do it, but I got the sense that the Haley campaign and the media was sort of poised for this as well to make a big deal.
Yeah, they were, sure. But as an analyst like you are, I never thought Nikki Haley was going to get the MAGA people to consider her.
No.
Okay?
No.
And she divided the vote with DeSantis, the anti-Trump vote. And so I knew that nobody was, you know, it's going to be equal and this and that. Now, on to New Hampshire. So this becomes more of a media play than an actual discernment of what Republicans in New Hampshire want, correct?
That's correct. I mean, in some ways, New Hampshire's more like maybe a general election because as you're right, you have independents, you have Democrats saying, hey, we can get in on this.
Right.
There's no Democratic primary.
I just want to make one quick point. Biden's not on the ballot. Biden didn't even file. Okay. So there's nobody to vote for except Republicans. I'm sorry. There is a second. I can't even remember the guy's name. He's a congressman running against
Dean Phillips.
But
Dean Phillips.
Right.
Yeah.
But Biden's not even on the ballot. So, you know, when you look at New Hampshire, and this is not going to be framed by the press at all, it's not really a Republican primary there. It's I hate Trump or I love Trump. That's it.
It's an open primary. That's right. There used to be more open primaries. And of course, John McCain loved open primaries. It fits into Haley's entire argument that she can beat Biden easily, but it doesn't help her in a Republican primary race, especially on Super Tuesday with a bunch of Southern states. It's a good point. How much does New Hampshire really help her? I would say she needs to win, and even then, it's kind of tainted because, again, it's not really a Republican primary.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to win. I think she'll be close. But you know, doctor, that even if she's close, the press is going to run wild with it. And I'm not sure the press helps Biden and the anti-Trump people anymore because the trust in the American media is so low. And it actually, the more they hate Trump, the stronger Trump gets. And so Haley goes down to our home state of South Carolina. And I said last night on News Nation, when Haley left South Carolina and the governorship there, she was not that popular. She did a lot of good things to the state, bringing Boeing in, creating jobs and infrastructure. But there wasn't a lot of tears when she walked out of Columbia South Carolina. And so if people think that she's a hometown gal going to overwhelm Trump in a MAGA state, they're delusional. Trump will win South Carolina.
Well, yeah, but how ironic is it that DeSantis is keeping his campaign alive?
Yeah, that's it.
By going to South Carolina. So Haley's going to go to New Hampshire, and if she does well there, then she's got to go to, it sounds like it could be a good thing. Oh, great, go to your home state. No, DeSantis is very likely could be more popular than Haley in South Carolina, and that you would think that would spell the end of the
campaign. That would sink Haley. That would absolutely sink her. That's why the Wall Street Journal called today for DeSantis to get out. They don't want him hurting Haley against Trump. Last word.
Well, I'll stick with what I was saying. I thought that, first of all, less than 5% chance, which is not great, that DeSantis or Haley would somehow defeat Trump. But of that 5%, I thought the only real chance for Haley was to come in second in Iowa and do better than she did. And she spent $37 million in TV ads, was there quite a bit, and she still could not get those non-Trump voters that she needed to show up.
That's a good point. Thank you, Dr. Really appreciate it. Say hello to everybody at Washburn for me. Okay, north of the border in Canada, they hate Trump. Why? Because the Canadian media, which is different than America, the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, runs out of the government in Ottawa. They hate him because Justin hates him, Justin Trudeau. So the media in Canada is very, very anti-Trump. New poll out of there, Angus Reid Institute. All right, 1,500 Canadians. Here is the first question. U.S. democracy cannot survive another 4 years of Donald Trump. Agree, 64%. Disagree, 28%. So we're not going to be a democracy anymore, according to the Canadians, if Trump wins. That's bad news for you guys up there. Second question. The USA is on its way to becoming an authoritarian state. Agree 49, disagree 26. Wow. Finally, considering the same scenarios for this year's presidential race, which winner do you think would be better for Canada? Biden better 64, Trump better 15. Now, if you guys in Canada think that Joe Biden is benefiting you because you got the same inflation we got, you have the same chaos overseas that we have down here. I mean, I'm just staggered. Do you not realize, Canadians, that we are carrying a $34 trillion debt down here? And that if the U.S. dollar tanks, the Canadian dollar vanishes. Okay? If our economy goes into recession, you guys are hosed. You're attached to us. And there's nothing you can do about it, because we are your primary trade partner and the commerce is back and forth. This is just insane, this poll. Now, I've been to Canada. I can't even count it as many times. I don't see any difference between Canadians and Americans. I know I'm going to get letters on that, but it's the same lifestyle, all right? And how you could just be so far out there on this political question, I don't know. All right, Joe Biden did nothing again today. So they don't even try to fake it anymore. They were trying to fake it for the first 3 years by putting stuff on his calendar that meant nothing. Now they didn't bother. So Biden, I guess, had the day off. I'm not sure. The Biden-Harris campaign says, this is coming from them, it has the largest war chest of any Democratic candidate in history, $117 million on hand. Okay, I believe it. All right. Barack Obama at this point, second time around, had 95. He's running against Romney. So there's a lot of money flowing into the Biden-Harris campaign. but is a little sleight of hand going on here. So they say the average donation is $41.88. 97% of the donations to Biden-Harris, less than $200. That's true, but most of the donations go to the political action committees, not to Biden-Harris. So the small donations do go to Biden-Harris, but the big ones go to the political action committees. There are three entities in this country: Hollywood, Silicon Valley, and New York City, Manhattan, that are pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into the Democratic cause this election cycle. So the head of the Biden campaign is Jeffrey Katzenberg. He is a Hollywood mogul. He has never held elective office. He doesn't know anything about elective office. Why would he be the head of their campaign? Because he is a rainmaker, a money guy. He's buddies with Steven Spielberg, Ari Emanuel, Reed Hastings, all of the big Hollywood moguls pumping money and money and money. And you go north to Silicon Valley, five-hour drive, there's Mark Zuckerberg. Hello, Mark. Hey. Okay. And all of the other titans of social media pumping money. And you go east to New York City. Hello, George Soros and his crew. And the combination is overwhelming. The money that the Biden people are going to have. Now, it's not going to do them any good, I don't think. Because the folks don't have any money. They're getting drained when they go into the gas and grocery stores. So these TV commercials, I can't imagine that it would help. By comparison, Trump, okay, we didn't have Trump numbers today. We should have, but we didn't. But we'll have them tomorrow. All right, Iran. So they fire a missile into Kurdistan, Iraq, the small town of Erbil, where the Israelis have a little spy nest. Mossad, and the U.S. has an airbase outside of that town. So Iran pumps in missiles, just fires them, and admits it. That's an act of war, is it not? Okay, just keep that in mind. Then Iran says, we're putting our Revolutionary Guard, these are the terrorists that work for Tehran, into Yemen to help the Houthis. That's actually a good thing, because that are all in that one little area. I just hope that somebody in the Biden administration has read Killing the Killers. I really do. Because the strategy that Obama and Trump used, Obama at the end of his administration, he made huge mistakes in the beginning. But the strategy they used to dissemble Al-Qaeda and ISIS is the strategy we should be using today. Don't throw this out. You just do it. You got the Revolutionary Guard in Yemen? Okay. We got drones. Boom. No population centers in Yemen. One town, I think. Smart life. And here's another reason that Joe Biden, inconceivable that he gets reelected. So after COVID, car prices went up 30%. New car, 38% used car. They did that because of chip shortages and supply chain disruptions. So when you're getting your Toyotas from Japan, couldn't get them quick enough. All right, they have a lot of plants here, I know, but the supply chain was fractured under COVID. Well, that's gotten worse. Now we don't have COVID under Biden, because Biden Transportation Department can't do anything. That's Buttigieg. They don't know what they're doing. So a new car in 2023, last year, averaged $50,364. Used car, $31,000. All right, this is according to the car shopping app Copilot. And MarketWatch estimates that you have to earn $100,000 a year to afford a car. Why? Car insurance rates. Have you seen them? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tomorrow in Smart Life, I'm going to do, there is a shopping app for car insurance, and I'm going to do that tomorrow to show you where you can go to compare and maybe get a better rate. My car insurance, must have been there 30 years. They sent me a bill, doubled it. I said, no. Okay, I got new car insurance. I'm not going to tell you what company because the company may not be work out for me. But I said, no, I'm not. And then I call a guy. So what are you doubling my car insurance? I said, no, I didn't even have a claim. And they don't care. And have you seen how many commercials there are, which cost them tens of millions of dollars to buy NFL time on these car commercials? Have you seen that? Every 2 minutes, you got Mahomes and the Kansas City guys and out there with the car insurance. Meanwhile, they're doubling everybody's. So you have to earn, according to MarketWatch, $100,000 a year to afford a car. This is beyond crazy. Final thing about this Smart Life segment. My son, when he came back from Oxford in December, needed a car. So he did very, very well over there. I couldn't have asked for a better performance from him. So I gave my car guys, I said, look, I'm buying him a used vehicle, all right? This is what he wants. And it took us 3 weeks of research. And we got it at a good price. So you got to research, but it's doable. Okay, New York State, where I am right now, highest tax state in the union, which is why hundreds of thousands of people are leaving the state to go to Florida and Texas, other low tax states. New budget, Kathy Hochul is the governor. This is unbelievable. So $2.4 billion in the budget to pay for migrants to New York, $2.4 billion. Joe Biden. Was New York State paying $2.4 billion with a B to help migrants under Donald Trump? No. So now taxes in New York are gonna have to go up. Again and again. So we are paying for millions of foreign nationals. Hardworking people are paying for that. And these left-wing politicians, it's okay. Not okay. You got to protect your people. Incredible. This day in history, January 16th, 1984, 40 years ago. Ronald Reagan was obsessed with the Soviet Union. If you remember, he called it the evil empire. Obsessed with it. If you read Killing Reagan, which is now banned in Florida, in one county anyway, if you read it, that was his big thing. He's gonna bring the Soviet Union to its knees. This is Reagan. Okay? So today, January 16th, 1984, here's what he said.
I believe that 1984 finds the United States in the strongest position in years to establish a constructive and realistic working relationship with the Soviet Union. We've come a long way since the decade of the 70s, years when the United States seemed filled with self-doubt and neglected its defenses, while the Soviet Union increased its military might and sought to expand its influence by armed forces and threat.
So back then, the Soviet Union was still punishing Poland and Eastern European countries, and they were misbehaving all over the place. Okay. Took Reagan 6 years. Okay, he was out of office. Bush the elder was president. But he did it. He did it. He bankrupted the Soviet Union. Basically, by building up our arms so high The Soviet Union could not keep pace. And by trying, their economy collapsed. And then the Berlin Wall came down, and you know the rest is history. So Reagan kicked that off 40 years ago today. Got a good mail segment, and I'll tell you a little bit about my skin cancer thing in the final thought. Right back. Okay, let's go to the mail. Tony D., College Point, New York. Bill, I don't understand. Last night you stated that if Michelle Obama wants to run for the presidency, Joe Biden will step aside for her for health reasons. How can the Democratic Party sidestep Vice President Kamala Harris? Okay. Biden's not going to step aside unless the money men tell him to. Then he would issue, as Lyndon Johnson did in 1968, say, I'm going to fulfill my first term, but I'm not running for a second term. Okay? Because of health reasons. I got to look out for my family, blah, 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 blah. So Biden's not quitting. He's not running again next November. Then Biden's going to say, if it's in the summer, I'm giving all of my delegates to Michelle Obama if she runs. Harris didn't have any say in any of that. She has no say. She's a vice president. Biden can do what he wants to do. He can give his delegates to anybody he wants. He's not giving them to her because she would get trounced worse than he's going to get trounced. Daniel Kasich, DePere, Wisconsin. Bill, people keep asking, how can Michelle Obama run for president? I don't have the qualifications at my fingertips, but isn't there a standard set of qualifications posted that need to be met if you run for president of the United States? No. You can run, Daniel, and you might be qualified because you're an American citizen. That's the only qualification. No set of standards. Can run for president if you can get the money and convince the people to vote for you. Kennedy Daniels, Mechanicsville, Virginia. Defending Joe Biden on the basis of parental protection for Hunter's shortcomings is indicative of the softening of American values. My father and yours, Bill, would have never tolerated, much less endorsed, that type of behavior that Hunter has done. I don't think Joe Biden has endorsed Hunter Biden's behavior. He made excuses for it, dodged it, but I don't know if I'm endorsing it. So let's be fair. But, you know, you're right. I mean, my father would have crushed me had I done something like that. Kathleen, I think it unfair to saddle DeSantis with the rogue librarian debacle. My guess, that person is power hungry and needs to be investigated. These books are not harmful to children. It's because the law was too broad. Okay, but why isn't DeSantis speaking out about the abuse of power in that county? Is he afraid? Does he not care that John Grisham, Stephen King, Anne Frank, Bill O'Reilly are being taken out of the school libraries? Does he not care? You're being very generous to him. This guy has a responsibility to police the law he signed, DeSantis, and he won't do it. What does that say about him? I know what it says. And believe me, those school kids in Florida need all the Jesus they can get. Imagine that. Imagine taking Killing Jesus out of the library, the history. It's just beyond belief. Alan. Bill, if they let Hunter Biden off and issue a new subpoena, what's to stop him from taking the fifth when he does testify? Nothing. The subpoena only says you have to appear in a deposition. He wants to take the fifth 100 times, he can. William Cross, West Valley City, Utah. Lately, I am listening to the BBC, and it is beginning to sound like Biden rhetoric that Trump will destroy democracy all over the world. Well, what do you expect the BBC to do? BBC is more liberal than the CBC that we talked about earlier in the broadcast. BBC, come on. I mean, I think the BBC is so pro-Hamas. I'm just shocked. But been going on way for years. Dar Lutz, doctor, sports medicine. Okay, doctor, here we go. We don't want to pay $24 for a sandwich either, so my wife and I buy a pound or a pint of chicken or tuna salad from the deli, take it home, make our own sandwiches. That's right. That's the smart play. But what if you're on the run? And that's what people do for delis. They're racing around. They're going places. They got to get a quick sandwich. Sure. I mean, you're a moron if you buy the crazy price sandwiches at the deli. You just get the ingredients, make your own sandwich. And remember to use sourdough bread. Good for you. But, you know, look, this thing is totally out of control. Believe me. Where I live on Long Island, insane food prices now. BillO'Reilly.com store. Before my books are banned entirely, you might want to buy the whole set. Well, 13. Great deal. We'll like you a lot if you do. And you read them. I'm getting letters. Well, what should I read them? What order? You go Witches. You go Lincoln. I'm sorry. You go Witches. You go Killing England. You go Killing Lincoln. Crazy Horse. That gets you through the first 100 years of the country. All right. And then you read them whenever you want. Those four. So our Witches, that's the Mayflower and all of that. Word of the day, do not be parsimonious. P-A-R-S-I-M-O-N-I-O-U-S. Parsimonious. Back with the final thought in a moment. Okay, final thought of the day, as I told you up top of the program. And by the way, this is not a podcast. This is a broadcast. I mean, nuts. This is structured like any broadcast, news broadcast you would see anywhere. Podcasts, they kind of sit around in sweaters and the coffee. That's not what we do. All right. So 6:45 a.m. this morning, snowing. I'm in the dermatologist's office. Good guy. Excellent doctor. And he puts me under the lights, right? So far, before today, I had 9 skin cancer they call it pre-cancers, removed. So now I have 13 because I had 4 today. My father died from melanoma, age 62. And my philosophy is you don't fight DNA. You got some in your family, your bloodline, you got to pay attention to that. You got to be proactive to that. Okay, I'm in. I know it's going to be an ordeal. And I got a cold. So there he is, and he's going, And that's always bad news. So here we go, white hair. We got over here. We got another one on my face, but the makeup artist is so good you can't see it. And then on my ankle, got a big one. Okay, I don't care about the ankle. I'm very vain. But my point is that you have to go to the dermatologist. I mean, the stats are it's not, the American Cancer Society puts out stats. And it says about 5.4 million squamous cells are removed from people every year in America. That's a lot. And most people don't even bother with it. And then you got to go in and this and that. And you got to do it. All right? I'm fair, blue eyes. If you're in that zone, then you got to do it now. All right? If you're a little darker and all of that, you have an advantage. But I'm telling you, don't play around with this stuff. The sun is very intense, particularly you guys live in Arizona and Texas and Florida and down south. The sun is crazy. And I'm not a sun guy. The problem with me was I was a lifeguard in my teenage years. And I played baseball and football. And the football, you had the helmet. But I was always out there in the sun. And boom. So anyway, we need you. We need you around. Go to the dermatologist. Thanks for watching and listening to the Nosebleed News. See you tomorrow.